just listen to the music. Just in case you were wondering if you should have gone to the Doobie Brothers concert last night, the answer is...
Yes.
I had date night last night with my daughter Taylor and took her to the Doobies concert, and they are still as good as ever, aren't they?
They're so cool. I love them.
I think Taylor was a little unsure about a concert, but she got in there, and because she, you know, is in my home, she knows a lot of this kind of music, so she knew a lot of them. And the thing about it is you had Don Felder there, who's an original member of the Eagles, wrote a lot of those songs, and it was like getting a bonus Eagles concert at the same time. It was good, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I loved it.
So venturing to the world of musical promotional tours, you can still see them in South Carolina and North Carolina before they get out of the area. They'll be in Alpharetta, Georgia tonight at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, Charleston tomorrow night at the Family Circle Tennis Center, and then in Charlotte Tuesday, May 5th at the Belk Theater. The weather looks great for all of those shows. They're all outdoors, I think. And speaking of the weather, if you're at home, your windows need to be up. If you're driving, your windows need to be down. If you're out on the lake, sitting on the dock, or hiking some trail, well, you're doing better than the rest of us. Have a great show for you today. At least I hope we're going to have a great show. I think we will. We're running into a little problem with one of our guests, but she'll be in when she can. That'll be Colleen Pusateri from the Upstate Hurricanes Archery Team and Robbie Allen from the Tiger River Foundation. The Hurricanes are headed to the National Archery and School Program's National Championships this week. And the Tiger River Foundation is getting ready for the second annual Fish the Tiger and More event on May the 16th. So stay tuned. We've got some other stuff we're going to cover. Those are the big two ones for today. And I just got a text. My wife is almost home, which is good because we've been surviving off of McDonald's and Arby's. And, wow, I'm ready for some good home-cooked food. Problem is she's going to get home and not feel like cooking.
True.
Yes. But anyway. All that out of the way, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. You can listen to this show right there on 94.5 WGTK. You can go to their website, which is Conservative Talk 94.5, and click the Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page. You can also get their free app for your phone or tablet, so you can listen to their station and this show anytime, anywhere you have cell coverage. So, with that being said, let's see what we've got on the calendar for this week. Fishing rodeos. I know I've said this before, but now is the time. In fact, the first ones took place in April. There were a group of them that took place today. Draper, which I was at last year. Croft over in Union and Star Pond. The next round is May the 9th. You've got one in Goose Creek, South Carolina. One at Sunrise Lake. Then the 16th, you've got a host of them. Barnwell County, Bulls Bay, Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery, Darlington County, Foster Lake, and Union. And at the Blue Heron Youth Fishing Rodeo, the Jimmy Shea Memorial at Lick Fork Lake in Edgefield. Piedmont Tree Nursery, that's over here in Pickens County, I suppose. So anyway, don't forget, these are free events. They are, most of the time, have tackle for you to use. If not tackle, they have bait. And they truck in all the fish you need to catch. So if you want to take a kid fishing, this is the time to do it. And it's, you see all sorts. I mean, you see dads with kids and mom with kids. And one of the best ones from last year was over at the Piedmont Tree Nursery event. There was a granddad, had two grandkids, and he was untangling lines and tying on new hooks. And I asked him, I said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm doing exactly what a granddaddy should be doing. So get out there, take a kid fishing, and introduce them to something that might continue for the rest of their life. Keeping on with fishing, if you want to learn how to fly fish, Orvis is offering free fly fishing lessons. It's called Fly Fishing 101, Fly Fishing 201. And it says, if you're looking for a great way to get the family together outside, our 101 class is the perfect event to get started. Fly fishing is a sport the whole family can participate in. All ages are welcome to attend the event, but those under 16 must be accompanied by an adult. The Fly Fishing 101 is learn fly fishing basics in one of our free classes, perfect for beginners of all age. It's free lessons on fly casting and outfit rigging. Fly Fishing 201. If you've already gone through 101, you're ready for the next step. Join us for a short outing on local water for a chance to catch your first fish. Nominal fee maybe for that outing. The dates on these, one of them was today, May the 2nd. They are also scheduled for May 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. That's all Fly Fishing 101. Fly Fishing 201 is 17th and the 24th of May. And Orvis has two stores in South Carolina. One is right here in Greenville, South Carolina, downtown, and one is at Myrtle Beach. And an Orvis-endorsed store is the Charleston Angler. So if you're anywhere near those three locations and want to find out more about learning how to fly fish, pick up the phone, give them a call, and get involved. From the Department of Natural Resources, 2015 public alligator hunting special wildlife management season applications available online yesterday. So if you want to go tag a gator, they're online only. So scdnr.org.gov.sc something another like that. Says more than 100,000 alligators live from the Midlands to the coast of South Carolina. The population is not threatened by the regulated removal of a relatively small number of alligators. I've had two tags and scratch both times. Actually, wait a minute. I've only had one tag and scratch. So anyway, last year, hunters took 312 alligators, average size being 8.5 feet long. It's a $10 fee to apply, $15 non-refundable application fee, and then it's a randomized computer drawing based on a preference point. I think the last time I applied, it was three preference points, so don't expect to apply this year and go in September. Season runs 12 o'clock noon on September the 12th until 12 p.m. noon on October the 10th. Entry deadline is June 15th. If you get selected, there is a $100 fee for the actual permit or harvest tag, but you don't pay that unless you get drawn. In a few regions, find a buddy. There are plenty of guides out there. So, if you want to tag a gator, now's your chance to do it. From the Clemson Extension Office, you've got the 2015 South Carolina 4-H Horsemanship Camp registrations. The purpose of 4-H Horsemanship Camp is to provide youth an opportunity to learn and better techniques of horsemanship while enjoying the fellowship of other 4-H'ers from across the state. The camp is designed to increase horse knowledge and horsemanship skills from the basic for beginning riders to showing techniques for the advanced rider. This is at the T. Ed Garrison Livestock Arena in Pendleton. And, you know, the cost is $450, and the camps start June the 6th, I believe. From the South Carolina State Parks, Music on the Mountain. It's time for that series to start up again. The first one's May 9th at 2 to 6. This is at Table Rock State Park. Perfect time to go up and go trout fishing, make a little day hike, and go hear some music live at Table Rock State Park. There are more dates in June, July, and August, and we'll cover those as they come up. Again, from Clemson Extension Office, Lawrence, Greenwood, and Saluda County's 4-H-2-O camp registration. For you 4-H'ers, this is the June 9th through the 12th. It's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. It's for 10 to 13-year-olds, 75 for 4-H members, 85 for non. It says join the fun. This 4-H program is sponsored by Clemson University Cooperative Extension Service and has tons of hands-on aquatic activities. Learn about things like, why do you build a lake? What's the big deal about algae? What is plankton and why is it in the lake? And then do fun stuff like go on the pontoon, take a canoe trip, collect fish with a seining net, and go swimming every day. So in addition to all the other fun summer camps, we've now got another one, a day camp. Check it out. You can go to the Clemson Extension office and look further to that. From the Outdoor Wire, May 9th, the world's largest 24-hour bird tally. Now, for you bird watchers, and plenty of people are showing me pictures of grosbeaks and painted bunnings and all that from along the coast in the Midlands, it's your big day. They want to tally as many of the world's 10,000-plus bird species as possible while raising awareness and funds for conservation. We're inviting anyone who sees birds to join us. You can do more. You can go to the Outdoor Wire or probably Google world's largest 24-hour bird tally. Anyway, there's the music. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side. A couple more things, and then we've got a guest on the line.
Gotta get back in time.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Try to adjust my chair here. Yeah, that feels better. Just a couple more things for the calendar. Things for you to do outside. And it's a nature and wildlife photography workshop in Santee, South Carolina. It says bring the family, friends, or come alone and make new friends. Join us at Santee State Park for an awesome photography workshop for beginners. Take this opportunity to develop basic photography skills and get a better understanding of your camera equipment, settings, and techniques for taking great photos. I take a lot of photographs. It mostly stays on auto, which is probably a waste of my camera, but I'm scared to get out of a... It's kind of like when you're catching fish in one place, you don't leave fish to go to another place to catch fish that may not be there. Subjects will be waterfowl, raptors, alligators, and other wildlife in and around beautiful Santee State Park. Package includes two nights accommodations at the cabins, lunch, boat tour, hands-on indoor and outdoor photography session. So call the park for reservations. Deadline is May the 13th. Actually takes place May 19th through the 21st. And again, that's Santee State Park, Santee, South Carolina. The final one, National Wild Turkey Federation, Edgefield, South Carolina, is going to have a luau. That's going to be on May the 21st, 6 o'clock, there at the National Wild Turkey Federation headquarters. Fundraiser. Ought to be a fun time. Again, all the calendar I'll be putting on the Facebook page. I have the event date, location, and website link for every event. So please check in to make sure there's been no last-minute changes. Now, as advertised, we have our first guest for the day. And this, I have to start out by saying, before I started Woods and Water, South Carolina, this was one of the first real things that I did with the camera geared towards this show, and it was about the Upstate Hurricanes archery team. And we are thrilled again to have Colleen Pusateri, the archery mom, so to speak, on the line with us. Colleen, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, good afternoon, Roger. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Wow, where do you start? I mean,
I know.
this program is just... Let me see if I can get this right. Mm-hmm. We're not even a year and a half.
Right. It's really just a little over a year. That's right.
Yeah. And you have taken this program from a startup to first place at state a few weeks ago over in Sumter, South Carolina, which is incredible.
It is. These kids are just amazing. Like I shared with you, about 80% of the kids had never held a bow before. And within the first couple of months, they were able to get to state. And then this year, what they've done and taking out the 9-year range state championship, and then creating a new state record, the high school team, and then the middle school team placing third. We're just, I've been on an adrenaline high, I think, for a month now. I'm tired.
Besides all the travel and all the work, too.
Yes.
I've got to ask you, and I'm sure the answer is going to be yes. Are the kids excited about going to Nationals this week?
Yeah, the kids are beyond thrilled. They are just, they are all just feel so blessed to be able to have this opportunity. And I know they're just as excited as well as the parents. We have about 150 of us going up next week. So we have 48 archers, and then we have the parents and family, some grandparents. So it's going to be a phenomenal time together.
Well, I was sitting there at state, and right behind me was Mid Carolina, and let me tell you what, they were absolutely devastated with second place.
They were. There were lots of tears shed there. And as much as that, kind of makes my heart sad. I'm just too ecstatic for our team.
Let me tell you what, I know you know Tom.
Yes.
His last name just left me.
Tom
Jeffrey. That's right. Jeffrey.
Yes.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yes.
Taylor's here, by the way, Colleen.
Hi, Taylor. Hi, sweetheart.
Hello. Let me tell you what. She has just transformed herself with this archery program. It has just been so neat as a parent to watch her get involved.
Right.
And for other parents out there listening, you won't know until you try.
Mm-hmm.
And there are tons of programs out there. We're just fortunate enough to have you and Patrick and Mr. Bergeron and your kids to help out and train and all. Anyway, consistency. Tom Jeffrey came over to me at state, and he said, you know what? He said, I watched those kids in black and red, and they may not shoot the lights out, but they consistently shoot well. And that's what it takes to put together a first place. You may have one or two stars on a team here or there that, that win the individual awards, but you've got to have a team consistency. He said, and that's one thing when I see that red and black, I know that their coaches are drilling into them the basics, and that's what y'all have done, and I think that's that's why y'all are where you are.
Right, yeah, and it's definitely the determination and the self-discipline and the hard work of each of these archers, too. I mean, we have great coaches who love the kids. My husband just you know, beyond blessed to be in the position that he has taken and have Jason there along with them. But the kids, it's what they put into it, too, and we just have been, outstanding kids is all I can say, and Taylor's one of them. We were just talking on the way over here how, you know, Taylor, you've just done an exceptional job in your game, and you are going to do great things with this sport for sure.
Thank you so much.
It's hard to believe she's not even really on the team yet.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'd say. It's going to be a great year for you next year.
Oh,
for sure.
Man, I cannot wait.
We're looking forward to our summer programs at Startup. So,
that's right. Is that already full for Hurricanes?
We're actually the conditioning program is full because that's the existing archers. But the summer program that's open to the general public, it's homeschoolers, that starts on June 2nd, and our registration is May 28th. And they can contact me through hurricanesarchery@gmail.com if they're interested in that. But that's going to be a 10-week program, and you can't beat the price.
No.
I mean, most of these camps charge $125 for a week, and we're going to offer this for 2 months, once a week, for 2 hours to these kids, and it'll be a great time together.
So we're going to Nationals. You got how many, 48 you said shooting?
48, yes.
And you're shooting on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what's happened in South Carolina this year with championships?
I've been listening as far as across the board, you're saying?
Well, yeah, across the board, you know, we've had Anthony Gagliardi, who's a guest on this show, won the FLW Cup, the crown jewel of FLW fishing.
Right.
Then we had Casey Ashley win the Bassmasters Classic, and I was saying, wow, you know, we could go 3-for-3 with the University of South Carolina, and up, who would believe it? They won the college bass fishing thing. Do we have a chance to bring the National Archery and School Program Championship back to Greenville, South Carolina?
Wouldn't that be amazing? That's a lot of pressure on these kids. They're up against kids who've been shooting since they were wee little, but they're in the 20% of the nation right now. I would not say they're not capable of it. I just don't want to put that kind of pressure on the kids. we've never been about the win. That's been so crazy. We've always been about, you know, just fall in love with archery, and from there things will happen. So we're just thankful for whatever happens. We're really looking forward to the opportunity that this program gives these kids, and also to be a part of that National Archery in the Day. That's going, you know, would be up on the podium that day with NAS as they're awarded their National Archery in the Day certificate, which will be a great day for that too. So overall for the sport of archery.
It's going to be good. Well, look, I'm looking at two stories here. One from the Outdoor Wire, which is kind of a lukewarm story on it. The other one is from the Archery Wire.
I like that.
The headline is Archery Finally Has Its Day Thanks to Homeschooling Mother. So let me go through this. Dogs have their day, National Dog Day, August 26th. Right. Grandma and Grandpa have their day, National Grandparents Day, September 30th. Anchovy-hating pizza eaters have their day. National Pizza with the Works, besides Anchovies Day, November 12th. And it says Melba Toast has one, too. And now on May 9th, which is traditionally the day of the national competition for NAS, thanks to, I don't know, some little birdie called here in Greenville, South Carolina, is a homeschooling mother who you may or may not know, has lit the fire under somebody. Now we have a National Archery Day.
That was neat. That
How
was
did
really
that
neat.
Come about?
I'll tell you, my administrative assistant that helps me on the team, Kristen Shevick, she is very big about those national days.
Okay.
And we had a conversation one day at archery. I said, well, when is National Archery Day? And there wasn't one. And so she went home, and the next thing I know, she sent me an email and said, this is what you would have to do to have it done. And so I went and wrote a letter to Roy Grimes. He's the president of NAS. And the next thing you know, he wrote back that same day and said, this is what's happened, and he was just so grateful. And that's when he said, you know, we'd love for your team to be up on the podium with us the day of. So it was just one thing led to another from one conversation, and that's how it got going. And now we have a wonderful celebration that's going to be across the United States now for that. So.
You talk about being across the United States. This program began in Kentucky 2002. It's in 47 states, 10 countries. 2.1 million kids participate each year.
Right.
And there'll be 11,500 students.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right. Yes, it is. It's a wonderful time together. And thanks to South Carolina DNR that we can do it here in this state. Big shout out to them because they do. You know, they're the ones that make it possible for us here in the state. So. Yeah, and they put a lot of hard work into it to make that possible. So
Whatever happens next Saturday, congratulations to you. Congratulations to the coaches, the kids on the team.
That's
good luck. We will be rooting for you.
Okay,
and,
Roger.
Thanks for coming on.
And next year, Taylor, you'll be right there with us, all right, sweetheart?
Oh, yes.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks
again,
Colleen.
Roger. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
And parents, if you're listening out there, grandparents, kids, if you're listening out there, let me tell you, from a standpoint of a parent whose daughter was searching for something to be a part of, and you know, she played basketball and she loves playing basketball, but she loves being outdoors, and trying to find other kids who had those same wants and interests and all was hard. It was very hard to find. We got her involved in the archery and school program, luckily with the Upstate Hurricanes, and you love it.
I do, yes. I've made so many friends.
So many friends, and let me tell you what, there's one thing she does without me having to stay after her to do that. What would that one thing be?
Practicing?
Practicing. I can, you know, I set her up a target kind of underneath our porch on a concrete walkway, and I had to remind myself not to walk out of my office door because I'd see these arrows flying by my office door. But it is one thing. I mean, she has found a place. There are kids that like to do the same things there. And it's funny. I was talking today. It's not the sixth graders group somewhere and the 11th graders group somewhere. It's mixed groups of all different kids. And I think you see that in any. I know being at State, watching these kids interact with each other while they're waiting on awards or waiting to shoot, they're a team. And it doesn't matter how old they were or anything, they all had one goal, and that was to shoot their best for their team. So anyway, we're gonna wait with hold our breaths for next Saturday that they will shoot well and have safe traveling up and back. A good time while they're there. I know a bunch of them are going up early to take in some of the sights of what Kentucky has to offer. And if you're out there and you want to get involved, hey, look, public schools have them. If you don't have one in your school, start one. DNR will help you. The school will fund you. NASP will be behind you with gear and all. So it's a great program. I hope you take advantage of it. Come back on the other side. We're going to listen to Robbie Allen with the Tiger River Foundation talk about their upcoming event on May the 16th. Hang on. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Right now, I want you to mark your calendars for May the 16th as a family day because we have Robbie Allen on the phone. Robbie's with the Tiger River Foundation, and she's going to tell you why and where and what you're going to be doing on that Saturday. Robbie, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thank you so much, Roger. I really am just delighted to be able to tell people about the Tiger River Foundation and all of our projects and, of course, our big fishing event, which, as you mentioned, will be on May the 16th.
There you go, folks. You got the date now. Now you're going to hear all the ins and outs of about the Tiger River Foundation and then more details about that event. So, Robbie, who or what is the Tiger River Foundation?
The Tiger River Foundation is a group of very concerned and enthusiastic citizens who really wanted to protect areas around the Tiger River, which, of course, is our watershed area.
Right.
Our mission really is to promote, protect, and restore the natural and historic resources of the Tiger River Basin. And really, we want to encourage people to get out and be active. We really want to encourage and promote an active outdoor lifestyle.
Then you are on the right show, because that's exactly what I want to do. I want to get people back outdoors, too. Now, you're a relatively young organization. When were you founded?
Well, we were founded in 2007,
okay.
And as I said, it started as a group of local citizens here in Spartanburg County who really wanted to preserve some areas along the Tiger River, and more specifically, the Old Anderson Mill, which really was the sort of the birthplace of Spartanburg County. The first court was held there in 1785.
My goodness.
So this organization started with that in mind, and then it grew from there.
And that mill, that is, it's an old grist mill.
And it is.
The oldest standing... I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
you were saying it correctly.
I was just saying it is the oldest.
It is the oldest standing mill in South Carolina,
yeah.
And probably maybe around 200 years old. So a very important historic place.
Now you've got a public park on the river, Access, and then the Tiger 10 Nature Park. So kind of run us through. What's going on with the areas that y'all are developing, such as the boat ramp and the Tiger 10 nature area? Tell us a little bit about those.
Okay, all right. Of course, after we got the property for the mill and the mill itself, we sort of branched out and were able to purchase some other properties along the Tiger River. Our biggest property is down on Walnut Grove Road in Spartanburg County, and we actually have about 65 acres all total down there.
Now,
we already have a 10-acre park, which we call the Tiger 10 Nature Park, and it's already open to the public from sunup to sundown for people to hike, fish, swim, kayak, and then, of course, we hope to further develop the property across the road. We've got a wonderful building, which is about 5,000 square feet, and we hope to turn that into a nature center. And then next to that, we've got farm property, which we want to further develop in some way, maybe make some more trails and... you know, we're still trying to decide exactly what we want to do, you know, with the farm property. But there's so much potential down there. And we really want people to know about it.
How close are you to Walnut Grove Plantation itself?
Gosh, now that's kind of a hard question. I would say roughly maybe 5 to 7 miles from the Walnut Grove Plantation. So not really too far. We're actually really pretty close also to Interstate 26. Very easy to find our Tiger 10 Park.
Now, the Tiger River, it starts, if anybody's ever crossed, driven Highway 11, you cross it up northern Greenville County through Spartanburg, Union Counties, and it joins the Broad River. So it's a long waterway kind of cutting through the upstate, almost down to the Midlands. When you say you bought and acquired and are developing, who's doing this with you?
Well, we've got numerous people who help us, and I guess our partners, you could say. One of our partners is the Department of Transportation, and they are helping, of course. They are creating a brand new road and new bridge there at the Old Anderson Mill, and they will leave the existing bridge and we will fix that up and make it look nice, and that will become for foot traffic and certainly as an overlook to, you know, for the mill.
Sure.
And maybe even have a little small part there.
Wow.
So certainly the Department of Transportation,
okay.
The Mary Black Foundation has helped us with projects. The water districts, SJWD, certainly the Woodruff Roebuck Water District, the J.M. Smith Foundation, Spartanburg Sanitary Sewer System, the Department of Natural Resources, and also Upstate Forever, Spartanburg County Parks. So there are a lot of different organizations who have helped us and partnered with us.
And those are a lot of organizations with really a lot of different main goals, but yet they've all come together to put together this area that y'all are going to develop for people to use.
Yes.
Really neat to watch that sort of thing happen. Okay, I read something very interesting on your website. It says, under projects, says 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to programs undertaken by the Tiger River Foundation. So y'all are a nonprofit agency?
We are. We are totally nonprofit. And, you know, like I said, our main mission is to provide these areas for Spartanburg County, for the citizens. And, of course, it really helps out with the tourism industry, too. So we try to ensure that we spend, you know, just about all of that dollar which people donate. And we, you know, want that to go to the projects. And people can donate very easily by going to our website.
What's that website?
All right, the website is www.tigerriver.org.
Okay. So you've got the Anderson Mill Restoration, you've got the Tigerton Nature Park. I understand there on your website it says you got 12-plus river access points in planning and development, Tigerberry Trail. Then you got the Nature Center coming up. Those are all, most of those are all future projects or ongoing projects right now, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, that gives us a little idea of what the Tiger River Foundation is. Now, May the 16th, it's the second annual Fish the Tiger and More event. Tell us what all is going to be going on May the 16th.
Okay, we are really excited to be doing this again this year. Last year was our first one.
Okay.
And, of course, it is a free event, and we call it a fishing day and demo because we will have people who will do various fishing demonstrations. All ages are welcome. We want adults to come. We want children to come. We want teenagers to come. Anybody who wants to come and fish or come and learn to fish or just get outside and enjoy nature. And we're going to have fly fishing demonstrations by Brandon Barber, who is a fly fishing guide and actually has his own shop, the Riverblade Knife and Fly, up on Highway 9.
Okay.
We're going to have bait fishing demonstrations by Bill and Jean Oakley. We actually will have the Foothills chapter of the Archaeological Society of South Carolina, who will be there and demonstrate flint knapping, fire making, and people can even bring their own artifacts, and they will try to identify them.
All right.
We've got various activities for small children. The kids can even make their own fishing poles. And we've got several games for small children.
Okay.
And in addition to that, we're going to have some activities in the Nature Center itself. Most of the activities that I just mentioned will take place in the Tigerton Park.
Okay.
And then the Nature Center, which is right across the road, we're going to have the Spartanburg Beekeepers Association.
Ah.
And they will have a live hive.
Okay.
And we have a man who brings birds of prey, hawks and falcons, for people to look at, and he can answer any question that you would ever have about birds of prey. The Native Plant Society will be with us, and also the Department of Natural Resources will be with us, and they will actually do what they call electrofishing.
Okay.
Where they stun the water, shock the water, and the fish, it doesn't kill the fish.
Right.
And then they scoop them up in a net and then put them in a big tank, and people can see them and they can identify the types of fish that are in the Tiger River.
Native fish. Pretty cool.
So we've got all kinds of things going on, and we'll have drawings and prizes, and we will sell hot dog plates, and so it'll just be a great day, and we hope to have so many people come out and enjoy the day.
You know, while we were talking about it, when I was talking the other day, I really hate that I'm not going to be there. I missed last year because of something that was going on, and now I'm not going to go to this year. So, hey, maybe the third time's a charm. Maybe next year I'll make it out for the day.
I hope so. I hope you can come and enjoy the day with us.
I will. Well, Robbie, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Good luck with May the 16th, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, and Roger, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity so that we can tell people what the Tiger River Foundation is all about.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it with us, and you have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's amazing how fast time flies. Got good stuff to talk about, good guests. Makes this show go in a real hurry. And I end up taking home a whole stack of stuff that I brought to get out of the way. But anyway, it just means it's there for another day, if another day next year when it's pertinent again comes back around. You know, I didn't want to put a bunch of pressure on the Hurricanes kids. They will shoot well because they have been taught well. But boy, I tell you, it would be something. It would be something. A news release from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service this week. Washington, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced today that it will distribute $1.1 billion in revenues generated by the hunting and angling industry to state and territorial fish and wildlife agencies throughout the nation. The funds support critical fish and wildlife conservation and recreation projects that benefit all Americans. All right, first of all, $1.1 billion. If you just take the 1.1, it's followed by 11 zeros. And in my feeble attempts at math and all, that's an 11% tax. Let me read you just a little bit of what this is all about. That $1.1 billion comes from Pittman-Robertson money. What Pittman-Robertson Act was in 1937... The Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Act, established an 11% excise tax on sporting arms and ammunition, appropriated to the Secretary of the Interior and apportioned to states on a formula basis for paying up to 75% of the cost of approved projects. Project activities include acquisition and improvement of wildlife habitat, introduction of wildlife into suitable habitat, research into wildlife problems, surveys and inventories of wildlife problems, acquisition and development of access facilities for public use, hunter education programs, including construction and operation of public target ranges, which we have some in South Carolina that have been built from Pittman-Robertson money. It was amended in 1970, 10% tax on pistols and revolvers. Again, in 72, it was further amended to add provisions for the deposit of 11% excise tax on bows, arrows, parts, and accessories. Amendments in 1974, again on the archery side. And in 84, it included crossbows. So if you spend money on pretty much anything outdoors, you are contributing, and part of this $1.1 billion is what you give back to what you love doing for its preservation. And like I said, in my simple math, that's about a $1 trillion in spending to get an 11% tax equaling $1.1 billion. And it's distributed to all 50 states. There's two parts of it. There's Pittman Robertson, Dingell Johnson. We did a whole show on it last year. Maybe not a whole show. We did a good show on it last year. South Carolina will get $15,679,905 to put towards, like, again, I said, outdoor shooting ranges. It's research. You know, there's some ongoing tarpon research down on the coast. We had the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust biologist here last August to talk about that research. There's all the predator control research. I don't know what all's going to be funded with this, but it's a lot of it should roll right back into the resources that we all like to use. And I just for comparison, and a lot of people do this, and it depends on where you get your statistics from, and people argue with me. Outdoors people are the world's largest group of conservationists out there. We spend more money, we put more money and time and effort into the resources than anybody else does. For example, in 2014, PETA took in $50 million. Now, PETA is a favorite kicking post. You know, people for the ethical treatment of animals. Other people say it's people eating tasty animals. Whatever it is, they took in $50 million. They spent $8 million in international campaigns, whatever that is. $20 million in public outreach. $13 million in research and investigations, whatever that is. They increased their coffers by $5 million. You know, there's a story came out about PETA. They ended up euthanizing 96% of the cats they took in and 77% of the dogs they took in. Another one that's out there is the Humane Society of U.S. And they say that, you know, conservatively less than 5% of what they take in goes into actually pet shelters and organizations that could use that money. And there's a grid here. South Carolina spending 0.011%. I see a 0.87% up there in Montana. But that's, 0.193 in Pennsylvania. And those amounts are, you know, $30,000 and under. Of $130 million in revenues, gave less than $10,000 to help local pet shelters. So, you know, hunters, fishermen, hikers, campers, you know, the people that use the outdoors, we're the ones that put the money back into it. So it will be there for everybody else to enjoy. Whether you hunt, fish, you know, if you never buy a gun or a tent in your entire life, those of us that hunt and fish make sure that money is there to provide places for you to go. So, you know, I know a lot of people just bristle at that. Well, you hunters are terrible. You know, hey, we're the ones that make sure that everything that you see out there is there for not only us, but for you too. So Pittman Robertson, $15 million, state of South Carolina. I will do my best to find out where all that money is going to go so you can actually go put your fingers on it. You know, I know there's a gun range, I believe, in Spartanburg County that was built last year with Pittman Robertson, or upgraded. So there you go. There's a little bit of ammunition for you hunters and fishermen out there to help you when people say you don't care or you shoot animals. Well, we make sure that they are well taken care of for all of us. Fishing, weekly trout stocking summary, April the 24th through April the 30th from the Department of Natural Resources. They stocked 11,495 trout. The East Otoe, the East Fork of the Chattooga, Little East Otoe, Canebrake, Rocky Bottom, North and Middle Saluda, the Chaga, South Saluda. So if you want to go catch some trout, now's a prime time to do it. Give them a couple days to settle down, and they, well, actually you don't have to, but I always like to. Just makes me feel a little better. But it's time to go out there and go trout fishing. We set up our annual Chattooga trip for May, and I cannot wait to get up there, camp out, eat some good fish, go fishing. Quit giving me dirty looks, young lady.
You should bring me, otherwise it'll bring you bad luck.
It's an all-guys event. Just deal with it. North Carolina, if you go across the border, they stocked a ton. They don't give their numbers out, but Allegheny, I mean, you know, Cane Creek, Clear Creek, Elk River, North Toe, Santitla, Price's Creek, pretty much any creek in North Carolina, got some fish last week. So now's a perfect time if you want to take a kid fishing. Yes, I will take you fishing soon. Soon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shut it. Or else you might not get taken at all. You always hate to see stories like this and hear stories like this. This was reported in the South Carolina, the papers in Charleston, and this is from the Outdoor Wire. Boat grounding in South Carolina results in death and injuries. When you're going to be out on the water, this starting, I guess, Memorial Day is really the big kickoff, but people are out there already. Know where you are. Know your limitations. Know how to navigate. And for heaven's sakes, don't go out there drunk, which I think is what happened in this incident. May not have been, but whoever was driving was not paying attention and didn't know where he was. One person was killed and two people were injured when a boat ran aground on Chutes Folly off Charleston, South Carolina, late Thursday evening. I mean, April 27th, one man was killed after being ejected from the vessel. Two female passengers were treated for injuries. Chutes Folly, if you're standing at Waterfront Park in Charleston and you look out and see the White Cross and there's a brick fort, not Fort Sumter, but a brick fort, and then a big, huge sandbar, that's Chutes Folly. It's kind of hard not to miss it, but they were, again, it was at night. Senseless. It's just like gun accidents. They just don't need to happen. An ounce of prevention is all it takes. So before you get out there and get on the water this summer, make sure you know where you are. A map, GPS, and don't rely on that. Always use your eyes. And things like this won't happen. So anyway, hate to end it on kind of a bad note, but just be careful while you're out there. Chuck Norris for this week. For all of you that just love those Jack Lynx beef jerky commercials where the Bigfoot punts the guy through the camper window, and for those of them who came to South Carolina searching for the elusive Yeti, Bigfoot claims he saw Chuck Norris. The National Deer Alliance is holding their second annual convention this week in Louisville, Kentucky. Deer hunting is going through some big changes all across the country. If you read anything, either NDA or other source from your state or our state, populations are in decline, harvests are down, lots of studies and research going on identifying exactly why. You have chronic wasting disease, deer farming issues, new regulations being debated like tag systems here in South Carolina, lowering limits in other states, effects of predators and recruitment and retention of new hunters, all things that will be addressed. Steve Ranella, Dr. Gary Ault, Shane Mahoney, and other guest speakers will be there. The annual Quality Deer Management Association convention starts the afternoon. The NDA ends, continues in the weekend. Some topics there is fertilizing your oak trees worth the money, when to hunt scrapes, purchasing, developing, and hunting your own property, and more. So look for some good information on deer and deer hunting coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. Also got NAS. Busy week in Louisville, Kentucky this week. Don't forget about those summer camps. Hint, hint. There's James. Take a kid fishing this spring. Maybe you find you enjoy it too. Be prepared and be careful while you're out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. I'll talk to you next week.